This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 10/28/21. Well, earnings season is in full swing, Nick. What are we learning now?
Yeah, earnings season is in full swing. We've had plenty of them, but tonight after the close, and we're doing this one specially because we have some big ones out. Amazon just reported, and it looks like the stock closed at 34.46, now trading at 3,300. So that is taking a bit of a hit as we speak. So Amazon under some pressure here. And again, we'll see what it does tomorrow morning. Anytime you look at these big mega cap tech names, they have a tendency to move the market, especially they can move the NASDAQ 100 as they are such a big weighting in those indexes. So Amazon, as we speak, down about 90 bucks.
90 bucks, which isn't really much. What's the share trading at? 3,000?
Yeah, we closed at 34.46 and now trading at 3,305. So, you know, it's not the end of the world here, but it's a pretty decent downtick. We're still waiting for the Apple news. They may not come out till after 4:30, though. A lot of times Apple waits till the futures market closes before they release their earnings.
All right. So this earnings season here seems to be a big yawn, Nick.
Well, it's actually been an interesting earnings season. I'll tell you why. We've seen stocks get big, big pops, and stocks that have disappointed have gotten absolutely annihilated. And I'll give you a good example of that. A company called Twilio, which is a major cloud software name, stock today got pounded. It was down 18%. And then you had a company like eBay today, you know, that got hit pretty hard, down almost 7%. So, you know, when these companies miss numbers or have bad reactions, their reactions are dramatic. When they have good reactions, the reactions have been very, very strong. So, you know, I always tell everybody, I don't trade earnings. What I do is I wait for the earnings to come out and then I'll find the levels and that's where I'll trade these names. But it really has been a very, very volatile earnings season in the individual stocks, not in the indexes. The indexes right now, after two-day pullback, had a big rally today. And that's something, you know, we've become accustomed to seeing really since the beginning of October. October, the markets have been strong and they're still holding up very well as we speak.
All right. So interesting. Well, while all this is going on, gold and silver have been holding their own, haven't they?
Yeah, they have actually been holding their own. And today, if you take a look at gold futures out here, you know, it was a flat day, 1800 sitting right there. Now, if gold futures can build a base at 1800, they're telling you they want to go up to the 1860 area. Right now, still need some more work to do. But I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised the way it's hanging in there. And the same goes for silver. Silver really is not much different. When you look at the silver futures chart, it went all the way up on, I believe, the 22nd of October. It got to 2492. Now you're at 2411. You're backing off, but you're consolidating. So far, so good. Just needs to do more consolidation, then you could have another leg up.
All right. So it's interesting. So you think this is intermediate here, or is it going to follow the inflationary trend? That's really the question, right?
Yeah, right now, I don't see gold making a big, big surge. I know a lot of media attention is saying that, and I'm not saying it can't do it. I'm just saying it has more work to do before it gets done. So there's always a chance, and we never, ever want to write anything off when it's reacting well and when it's making a pattern. But as always, the way I look at it is you got to get through one level before you could ever anticipate and look at another. And gold has some levels it has to get through before it makes a big splash. Now, if we get the Fed tapering at the next meeting, which is actually next Wednesday, and they start to announce a taper and interest rates start to go up, maybe that could put some pressure on gold, especially if the dollar strengthens. But right now, the dollar still looks like it has a little bit more near-term weakness.
So did you see what happened in Australia when they announced the tapering was over? What happened to the interest rates on their debt?
I did not see it. I did not. Was that today?
I think it was last night. There was a Zero Hedge article, and the chart went parabolic for the rates.
Well,
because nobody wants the stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Nobody wants government debt from anywhere in the world, period. Well,
just think about who the buyer of government debt is. It's the central bank.
Yeah, that's it. For everyone, though, not just the U.S.
No, for
every country. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the problem. And that's why, you know, this bull market that we're in, you know, it's artificial in a sense because of that reason. There's really no true bid in the bond market. And the bond market is what makes the market. So, you know, I really try to tell this to people. I try to get it across to people. But this is what we're dealing with. You know, the central bankers have distorted the markets. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to actually fix it. So, you know, we could go up another 5 or 10 years, I guess. But, you know, when the big calamity happens and the bubble bursts, I mean, it's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. But pray to the good Lord, we have time for that.
Yeah. So Australia announces taper. So did Canada. I don't know. I haven't looked at the Canadian government debt rates, but I'm sure it did exactly what Australia did. Or if it didn't, it's because they know they're lying and they're not going to taper. I don't see this taper coming, Nick. Are we crazy?
Well, I think it has to happen at some point. What the Fed is going to do is they're going to go in there and go very, very slow. But I don't think we're crazy. And I'll tell you why I think it's going to happen eventually. The bond yields are not signaling a major decline. Now, if we pull back on, say, the 10-year, you know, what can you go down? Maybe you go down 25, 30 basis points. We're not going lower than that. So the only place to go after this is up. And I think the market will force the Fed's hand. You know, they're already behind the curve. And we know that because we see what inflation is doing. And we see it when we go to purchase something. So we know that they have an issue. And, you know, at some point, you know, they're going to have to resolve it. I don't know if, you know, you can't keep doing this.
Okay. So I am in the process here of writing a paper, 11 signs that inflation is going much higher. All right. And among them here, well, we got global debt at record levels, while interest rates are at 5,000-year lows. I mean, you know, Shylock would have gone bankrupt in today's environment, Nick. You know,
yes.
We got rising commodity, fiscal, you know, all the things, little things like global arms races heating up again, shortages, which have the direct effect of increasing prices, and then energy production, which has been forcibly constrained. Interestingly enough, one of the prime movers of inflation is rising living standards around the globe. You know, that everybody out there has become a member of the middle class in all these countries that were backward countries. And that's putting demand pressure on a lot of stuff that we've come to think is our God-given right. But the most important factor of all is the Federal Reserve, which exists to create inflation, right?
That's right.
Until they change the direction, nothing is going to happen here.
Well, you got to remember, the Fed was fighting deflation now for, you know, since 2007, 2008, let's call it, since the 2008 market crash. They've been looking to get inflation. Now they got inflation, and now they think they're going to be able to tame it as soon as they raise interest rates. Well, I got news for you. If you just go back and look at the late 70s, you know, that paints a whole different picture. Paul Volcker is not around anymore. So, you know, we're going to have to, where people are going to really see what's happening out here, and they're already seeing it. I mean, honestly, we've never seen anything quite like this, you know, with lumber prices, boxes of cereal. Now, my kid opened the box of cereal. He goes, "Dad, is this something wrong with the cereal box?" I said, "What's the matter?" He goes,
"It's empty.
Looks like it's empty." Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, toilet paper rolls are shrinking again. Hey,
yeah. It's incredible, but we're seeing this everywhere. And just look at what you're paying for food and energy.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, like once they start raising rates, the market's going to collapse and businesses are going to collapse because the debt levels are so high, it's going to collapse the economy. So
Here's how it's going to work. When they first start to raise rates, we're going to have a correction. The market's going to correct, and then the Fed is going to ultimately say, "Hey, we're going to pause. And what we're going to do is we're going to do some kind of operation. And we're not going to raise rates for a while. And the market's going to get a bid again." And that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to yo-yo it. Because honestly, the Fed is the only game in town, right? It's just simply about liquidity in the system. And that's all anybody's got to do now. They could throw everything else out the window, is just track the liquidity. And when liquidity is no longer plentiful, markets go down. When the liquidity is plentiful, they go up. You know, I talked about it in October with you right here. I said, too many bears right now. There's too much liquidity. And what happened? Everybody was panicking on the September sell-off, and we had a huge October pop.
Hey, man, I'm just sitting back watching because the story has been told. The final chapter maybe hasn't been written, but it's in the process of being written because you just can't tame these forces. Like you said, they wanted inflation. Now they have it. You know, the old Confucius saying, make sure you know what you want because you just might get it. Now they got it.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. So, hey, and finally, let's talk about cryptocurrencies. What's the Bitcoin deal today?
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin right now is still a very strong chart. You know, today it's around 60, just under 62,000 as we speak, up about 5% today. So it had its little pullback and now it's rallying again. You know, it's still a bit long in the tooth here, still a bit overbought, but the chart is strong. And I don't see any major problem with Bitcoin right now. I don't think it surges higher because it went a little bit parabolic here recently. So it's going to need to do a little bit more backing and filling. But, you know, when trends are up, they can go higher. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. So if you had to pick a next level, record level for Bitcoin, what would it be?
Well, it's easy. You know, it's just going to be first you'll go to 70 to 75,000 is your next big resistance point. So that's just a natural resistance number, whole round number when it gets there.
All right. 70 to 75K. That makes total sense because it's enough of a boost, 15% from where it is today, 20%.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it gets there right away, but as long as you're consolidating, doing some backing and filling, you're looking to go higher. That's how markets work.
The haters are going to love this because the headline here is Bitcoin 75K. So they're going to say, this guy is crazy. But in any event, people have said worse. So that's it for today. Make sure you go over to inthemoneystocks.com. You'll see how Nick has beaten the averages for decades. Check out the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Emails are always welcome at kl@kerrylutz.com, and we'll get to reading some of them in the next few days, hopefully. Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.